Done with frizz? Say goodbye to that poof. Repel humidity and tame those flyaways. One drop, frizz stops with John Frieda Frizzy Serum. Your hair talks and frizz never interrupts. John Frieda Frizzy Serum. One drop, frizz stops.
Only from John Frieda.
Want to make your blonde blonde? Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair two full shades to give you your best blonde every day. Your hair talks. Make a statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection. Only from John Frieda.
On this edition of Locked On Grizzlies, we'll talk about the oldest player in the NBA. And the man who got sick of talking about how old he was all year long. Well, sorry, Vince. Here comes one more podcast about you. Vince Carter, he's the subject of today's Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another off-season edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. I am happy to be with you here on this Tuesday. And here on the Tuesday, we're going to talk about Vince Carter. Also, kind of check in real fast before we do that on what's happening in the league right about now, as we are less than a month away from the draft and just over a month away from the NBA free agent period getting all crazy. And we're about 10 days away from an interesting basketball game. That's a little harsh, actually. You know what? Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals was very intriguing. Congratulations to Boston for making it at least mildly interesting. We'll see if they can win Game 4. Then I'll be a little more interested at that point. But I have a feeling that a beatdown is coming their way again in Game 4. But I digress. Congratulations to the Warriors, who clinched a trip to the finals last night, knocking off San Antonio Spurs in what was very much a foregone conclusion. A game that, I have to be honest with you, felt a little bit like not only a foregone conclusion, because in each of the previous two attempts that Greg Popovich's Spurs teams have tried to come back from 3-0 down, they've been swept each time. So this was kind of that. No Kawhi made it even more so. But then I felt like, and the game kind of played out like this, the game had the feel and had all the competitiveness of like a preseason game. Yeah, this is a Western Conference Finals game. And you can, obviously, Grizzlies fans know full well about being swept in the Western Conference Finals, but that Spurs series was quite a bit different. That was a competitive series. Those games were close. Those games were hard fought. Those games, that was an intense sweep. That was not a garden variety, you lose by 20 each time kind of deal like we saw in this sweep. This the other thing that I don't, and maybe I'm curmudgeonly or whatever, I don't know. I have a great deal of respect for Manu Ginobili, for the way he played, for the kind of guy he is. I never got a chance to cover him, obviously, much, but I did talk to him a time or two. Very nice guy. And, has great deal of respect, very well thought of among all NBA folks. So that just, let me put that on the table before I get into this. But I heard Greg Popovich talking a little bit about the whole deal. And essentially, they started Manu, as opposed to bringing him off the bench. The end of the game, last 5 minutes, was the crowd chanting Manu, Manu. The game was obviously over. And afterwards, Popovich saying that he owed it to Manu to start him as a sign of respect, which I guess is okay. But to me, that goes against the whole idea of trying to compete. If you think that his best position is off the bench, and you've said that for a decade now, plus, and even in all the other situations with the injuries and whatever, you played him off the bench. It's not like your team is, I mean, like, you don't have to lose the game. I mean, you're probably going to, but you don't have to. But when you treat the game like it's an exhibition game or like some kind of a, Manu Ginobili retirement game, then that's what you get. And that to me contributed to the whole feel of it just being going through the motions. It for those of you that are soccer fans, it was very reminiscent of this weekend's Chelsea match with Sunderland. Chelsea had already clinched the Premier League title at that point. Sunderland had already clinched their relegation, so nothing to play for. John Terry, long-serving Chelsea defender, is leaving the club, and he wears number 26. So at the 26th minute, they choreographed that, and he hadn't played much this year. He's been kind of a kind of a bench guy and hasn't done much, but he has a long-standing history with the club. Anyway, at the 26th minute, they orchestrated it. The Sunderland goalkeeper kicked the ball out of play, and they substituted him because he wears number 26 in the 26th minute and had a all the players stand on the side. They just stopped the game altogether for like 2 minutes, hugs, handshakes, ball players going around, and he was the one who orchestrated the whole thing. This player, John Terry, a monumental ego trip, an absurd amount of self-aggrandizement, like off the charts ego here, that you would feel the need to do this, that you would orchestrate and set it up, and even though the game didn't really matter to either team, at least have some professional pride. Treat it like it's an actual game. And I got a little whiff of that feel from Manu. Now, Manu didn't orchestrate any of this stuff. Manu, I'm sure, didn't request to start and request to be taken out at certain times or whatever. But the point is that it made the game feel totally perfunctory. And the actual competition, while we know it was more or less an inevitability that the Warriors are going to make the finals, it felt, it just took away from even the appearance of an actual competition, if that makes sense. That there was even really an actual effort being expended to try to make this a competition. That illusion was shattered with stuff like that. Just don't like it. Don't like it one bit. And I hope we see Manu again. But I appreciate trying to give the guy something special on a sending off. I just didn't. That one rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't like it. Anyway, so congratulations to the Warriors. We knew it was coming. They're 12-0, first team to go 12-0 to start a postseason. The Lakers were the last team to get all the way to the finals, unbeaten back in 2001. But of course, they played three out of five in the first rounds. They were 11-0. Going into the finals and lost game one, Allen Iverson with a big game one. They then proceeded to win the next four and go 15-1 in that postseason. So we'll see what happens in the finals. Finals will start next Thursday, June 1st. Going to talk Vince Carter and his season and free agency in a moment. Want to say a big thank you to our friends again at GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. I love Mark and Courtney and the folks at Grizz Essentials because they love you. They want you to have great stuff even through the off season. They want you to have cool shirts. They want you to have cool gear. They want you to have unique stuff. They want you to have like cups, mugs, artwork, pens, stuff for your pet, all kinds of cool deals that you can only find in the boxes you'll get from Grizz Essentials. And a lot of times, local folks doing it exclusively for them. It's really cool. The shirts are awesome. I wear them all the time and get lots of compliments for them. They are tremendously soft, made of great material, look great, feel great, and they are unique. Don't be like everybody else walking around wearing your Grizz gear. Walk around in some other cool stuff that you can get from the great folks at Grizz Essentials. Just go to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. That's GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies and get started today. You're going to love it. You're going to appreciate it. And tell Mark and Courtney that you heard about it right here on Locked On Grizzlies. They'll take great care of you. Again, go to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Vince Carter is the subject of today's offseason Locked On Grizzlies, the oldest player in the NBA. I joked with Vince, probably a couple weeks before the end of the season, right at the beginning of the playoffs, and I just said, man, are you sick of, like, everything you do, you're the oldest player to do it. Anytime you dunk, it's the oldest player to dunk. Two dunks, the oldest player with two dunks. Five threes, oldest player with five threes. Oldest player to dribble between his legs. Oldest player to do all this. It's every time. And he said, yeah, he gets old as hell, but beats the alternative. And he's right. He's still playing. He's still vibrant. He's still... And in the playoffs, man, he was really good. He was really good late in the season. He stepped up in the absence of Chandler Parsons and did a lot of stuff for the Grizzlies on the court that Parsons would have done, and he did it. I mean, you know, he's not going to do it at the level that he was doing it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but he did it okay. Enough to where you could see exactly what the Grizzlies could have gotten had his ankles been healthy, you know, right out of the gate. And you could kind of get the idea of what he was doing late in his run with Dallas, some of the pick and roll stuff that he could do, some of the distribution that he had with the ball. And his defense was really pretty fantastic. You know, every now and then you would see the lack of wheels. You know, every now and then you would see that the mobility and the age would get to him. But by and large, man, he defended bigs. He defended smalls. He was one of the better defenders for the Grizzlies on a game-in, game-out basis, you know, especially after the All-Star break. So, you know, he did a lot of those things that needed to be done. And you could see that you know, David Fizdale really relied on him to do a lot of that stuff, really relied on him as a glue guy, as a guy to keep things together when tough times hit, when he had lineup issues that he needed to deal with. You saw Vince, you know, plug up some of those holes and play, you know, those wing roles that need to be played, play up to, you know, and he will have a bit of time as a four in today's NBA because he can defend that position. He can shoot those threes and stretch the floor a little bit. You know, overall, you look at the numbers for Vince this year and they're just kind of okay. Shot 39% from the field, 38% from three. That 38% from three is pretty good. 8 points, three rebounds, two assists per game. Was generally a positive for the Grizzlies. And down the stretch in the postseason, you know, those numbers shot up a little bit to a much more respectable shooting number, 48% from the field. And he was able to hit 40% from three in the postseason as well. You know, he ended up being a big contributor for the Grizzlies in moments in that series, even if, you know, there were also times that he got exploited by the Spurs and by some of the issues that just happened to come along with a guy of his age being asked to do so much. You know, his limitations are still very much there, but he wants to play two more years. And, you know, I think he can get that contract. I don't know that both years are going to be guaranteed. You know, based on what we saw, he can still go. But again, it was much more, you know, spurts into the season. You saw in the postseason run, you saw, you know, some of the things that he could do. He was much better as a starter. With that starting unit, you know, he shot 45% as a starter this year, 38% off the bench, 43% from three as a starter this year, 36% off the bench. Again, a lot of that with the ambiguity about Chandler Parsons, that messed up a lot of the wings, Vince included, in terms of what his role was going to be. And once Parsons was really ruled out and Carter kind of jumped into the starting lineup on a more full-time basis, you know, his performance got better as he played a few more minutes. He averaged 29 minutes a game when he played as a starter. Big number for a 40-year-old. Big number for a lot of guys. And you know, he was pretty good. Now, you know, for the Grizzlies long term, do you want to bring back Vince? Where is his priority? And he knows. I talked to Vince, and you heard some of it when you listened to Locked On Grizzlies a couple weeks ago after the season was over. I talked to Vince about this stuff, about free agency and all that. And one of the things that we talked about was the priority situation. And he's very realistic, to his great credit. He's very realistic about what his role is and, you know, kind of where his priority is for the Grizzlies. He is not laboring under the delusion that he is the most important guy out there for the Grizzlies. But he knows that he would like to be back. He would like to be back because he plays a bigger role for the Grizzlies than he would for contenders. You know, he said in that same interview, as I asked him about it, you know, he said that coming off the bench is fine. You know, playing a role is fine, but he wants to play something. He doesn't just want to be a coach and, you know, be the guy that works those young players out and is the mentor and only the mentor. He said, I'm happy to mentor these guys. I love doing it, but I also want to play. And he showed that he can still play. So that, I think that's going to dissuade him from going to one of the quote-unquote contenders, because I don't think he wants to be that guy. And he said that publicly. So I really don't think he wants to be in that spot. He was, if you look at his synergy numbers this year, you know, he was a very good spot-up shooter. You're talking about a guy that was among the very best in the league in that number. Only Mike Conley on the Grizzlies was better. Among all players, according to Synergy, who took at least 100 spot-up shots this season, including the playoffs, Vince was 29th in the league in terms of points per possession. And that is no easy thing to do. Major credit to Vince for that. He was also one of the best players in the league in finishing in transition. He was excellent in short shot clock situations, according to Synergy numbers again. Vince was excellent from catch-and-shoot situations, and particularly unguarded catch-and-shoot situations, where among all players who took at least 50, he was 12th in the league at 1.5 points per possession. Big number. The only guy that was better for the Grizzlies was Mike Conley, who was 5th in the league in unguarded catch-and-shoot, 1.532 points per possession. Mike shot 53% on unguarded catch-and-shoot looks, and Vince shot 52%. From unguarded catch and shoot looks. Again, these are not numbers that are associated with a guy that should just pack it in. You can put up those kind of numbers. You can still shoot. You could still be catch and shoot. You can still score. You can still play pretty good defense. Not overall, but in spurts, you certainly can play good defense. Those don't point to a guy that is ready to hang it up just yet. So for Vince, of course, the question is simply going to be contract and money. How much, what kind of years. I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think he wants two more years. He said he wants to play two more years. I don't think he can get a two-year guaranteed deal, but 1 year and then an option of some sort, I think is very, very plausible. And Vince knows that he's probably fourth out of four, or maybe third out of four, you know, depending on how the Grizzlies feel about Tony Allen in his situation. Vince knows that Jermichael and Z-Bo are going to get taken care of first, and he's okay with that. I don't think he minds, you know. But I don't think he also wants to be the afterthought guy. I don't think he wants to be the ring chaser guy. I don't think he wants to be known as that stuff. I think he wants to be. He's one of the guys in the league that has achieved the rare. It's extremely rare. Thing of going from a superstar to a role player and doing so very gracefully, very easily, without a lot of fuss, without a lot of craziness. He has taken the ability. He has not tried to do stuff that he couldn't do. And you watch the end of Michael Jordan's career. You watch the end of a lot of guys' career, and they just try to do stuff they can't do. They can't quite admit that father time has changed their game. And as a result, it's very frustrating for fans and players alike. Vince has modified his game. He still dunks and can still get up and can still windmill and can still do between the legs and all kinds of stuff, but he can't do it very often. And he doesn't play that way anymore. It's been incredible to see the work ethic that he shows. He's there. He truly is the first one to arrive at the gym and typically the last guy to leave. He works out after every game. He has to stretch and go through a whole weightlifting drill just to keep the muscles loose and ready. It's a heck of a story. And I do think that the Grizzlies want to bring him back. And I would say that he wants to come back, and I think the financial part of it can be worked out as long as Vince is willing to be patient and to accept, you know, not a huge deal, because I don't think he's going to get a huge deal from anywhere else. You know, Toronto, one of the old stomping grounds, stuff like that. I don't see that happening at this point. I think Memphis is still the best fit for him and for what he needs to do. But he may have to wait, and he may have to kind of see how things go financially. I do think that they want to bring him back, and I think, as we've talked about, he deserves to be brought back. He deserves it. You know, I think you could bring him back for a $5 million deal, somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, four. He's making four this year, partially guaranteed. You know, somewhere in that same range over the course of, you know, 2 and 10 with that second year not guaranteed, 2 and 8. You know, I think that makes a lot of sense for him, and I think the Grizzlies would be happy to do that at the right time when everything is done and they can figure out exactly what they need roster-wise. One complicating factor, though, I will say, depending on how the Grizzlies feel about his progress and where he's at, is Rade Zagorats. You know, Rade Zagorats does, you know, in theory at least, a lot of the stuff that Vince does. You know, Rade's a similar-looking player. You know, he's not, you know, he's not Vince Carter, but, you know, he is a 6'9 wing with the ability to pass it a little bit, with the ability to dribble it a little bit. You know, he has, you know, kind of some of the things that Vince can do, Rade is going to be doing, and how quickly the Grizzlies want to move along his progress, that may affect what happens with Vince. I would still think there'd be room on the roster for both guys, at least for 1 year. And, you know, if nothing else, Rade can learn from Vince Carter when he comes over. But that may complicate things just a little bit. Otherwise, I still think when all is said and done, the Grizzlies and Vince end up working something out. Thanks again for listening to Locked on Grizzlies. Thanks to GrizzEssentials.com for their continued support of the podcast. Thanks to all you guys for listening. We'll be back again later on in the week with another off-season edition of the pod as we inch ever closer to the draft and to free agency. We'll continue to look at all of that stuff here on the pod. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.